With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yotisby, the sportive, is back, we think. I don't know. We're on Zoom now. It's a whole new, brave new world. I'm Brandon. John's here. Hi, John.
This is just like old times when we would try to have a Google Hangout and we would see Stu vacuuming his carpet and Clarence would just throw his phone so you could see his ceiling. I haven't seen his ceiling in so long.
All right,
it'd be nice to see that ceiling again.
The only people who see it are the drifters who wander onto his property.
That's right.
It's the last thing they see.
It's the last thing I was going to say. They don't tell anybody about it.
Before the eternal dark.
That's Stu. Hi, Stu. How are you?
Oh, great, guys. Anything go on this week?
Yeah, we have to talk about our, I was going to say our long national nightmare is over. I don't know if it's anybody else's nightmare. My nightmare is over. I was sick, very sick of the Zimmer Spielman era. So this was extremely good news for me to see that they had gotten shown the door. So I was basically, my boner clock was about at midnight hearing the news. Not for any, maybe that's not true. Maybe midnight's wrong. They did seem like good people who had done some good things for the Vikings. So we can't, they don't go down in lore as absolute disasters like so many other coaches and general managers throughout Minnesota sports. They're not that. I think it was just, at least for me, it was like, all right, I've seen this movie enough times. I don't need to see this movie anymore. John, how devastated were you about this, or happy?
Well, you're right. It was more Denny than it was Mike Tice or Chili. Or
Denny's a really good, I think, comparison.
Mm-hmm. Leslie Frazier. It was the end of the Denny era was about the same thing, where it's just like you said, Brandon, it was, we've seen this before. We've seen enough. I don't need to see this. We don't need to run this back again. It's just going to be the same thing again, but slightly worse. And I don't need to see the same thing again, but slightly worse. So honestly, I was happier about Rick Spielman getting fired, because there were so many rumors and so many theories that maybe Spielman wouldn't stay as the GM, but he would get kicked to a different role of some kind, or some sort of senior advisor to the owner role or something like that, where he would still be around putting his pants on after putting his shoes on and just, you know, offering that particular brand of insanity. So I was pleased that Spielman went, and I think more or less pleased that Zimmer went, not because I necessarily hold any animosity for Zimmer, but just because it was time. It was time to start over in every possible way.
Yeah. Stu, how did you feel?
We should probably address the elephant in the room. Chicken Finger 69 is not here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We all know his feelings about Mike Zimmer, his dad. Mm-hmm. It's like, we should have him here, obviously, but nobody asked Jackie Kennedy, when she's wiping her husband's brains off of her Halston dress, how good of a president she thought LBJ was going to be. It's just,
nobody
it's
invited
an unfair,
her on a podcast.
It is
not
an unfair question to ask of somebody who is grieving, who has just had everything ripped away from him. So that's where he is. He's not here today. He may be back when he can talk about it. And that may be never. We just don't know. It is just too early. The wound is too raw. And we're just giving him space. We're giving Chicken Finger 69 space and it's the right thing to do. As for me, I'm glad that both those fuckers are gone. Spielman should have been gone. He lasted 11 years after Christian Ponder. That's amazing. In
11
the NFL.
Years.
11 years after fucking up that badly and continuing to fuck up. By all accounts, Mike Zimmer was the old Elmore Leonard line about if you run into an asshole in the morning, you run into an asshole. But if you run into an asshole all day, you are the asshole. That was the last 3 or 4 years of Mike Zimmer. Just a bitter, mean, crotchety bitch. And that's not me saying that. That's Eric Kendricks, who everybody loves. So I think we can just say it's very good they did a clean break with both of those guys. We bear them no ill will. And Spielman will probably get a job consulting for who knows.
The Broncos.
And Zimmer will be like a defensive coordinator or defensive advisor probably for, let's say, Pittsburgh. I don't fucking know. Who cares? He's gone.
Yeah, he really
Giants
went out.
Fired their coach. Why would the Giants not hire Zimmer? He's the perfect brand of sourpuss for the New York football Giants.
I remember Tom Coughlin always being super red-faced?
Yes.
Yeah, but
he
I think
the red-faced successor.
Yeah,
and
but
he had an aesthetically displeasing brand of football, just like Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of squinting.
And aesthetically displeasing. You may have found his landing place.
Yeah, an aesthetically displeasing person, just like
that's
Mike
true.
Zimmer.
Mm-hmm. I think, though, that Coughlin was around the Giants with the old regime, and this is like the Fail Sons have taken over recently. I don't know if Zimmer is a big enough disaster. I think they're going to try to really swing. I mean, they hired this Joe Judge guy who was like, what is he, a special teams jackass?
He was a special teams
guys,
jackass for Belichick.
He was NFL Tim Brewster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The like claim of a bunch of old players keep calling me even though they made more money on a different team, and they've been saying how much they wish they could come back, and Bill Barnwell looked into it and it was like one person on the Vikings possibly even could be the guy calling. It's just like, so I don't know,
people are saying it and they're saying it very strongly.
You hear
it, they
more
want to be back here,
right? This big guy comes up, tears in his eyes.
This four-star general, they come up to
four-star
me.
General,
oh boy.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I don't know. I don't know if there are any Vegas odds on if Zimmer gets another head coaching gig. He's pretty old. Yeah,
they don't usually give him out like that.
I don't think so, not with a bunch of these like 24-year-old Madden players getting jobs recently, like LaFleur and McVay and whoever the no-namer on the Bengals coach. That might be the thing. Young Madden.
You got to say,
gross.
Zimmer's calling card was being good at one thing, which is he is no longer good at.
No. They gave him how much money in the offseason to rebuild the defense?
That was.
They finished 31st this year.
He forgot
that really
to call
was
a
the
timeout
thing, right?
At least once, and then called a timeout when he wasn't allowed to and gave the other team 5 yards at least once.
Yeah.
So
it literally cost team. He cost the Vikings games this year. He himself did.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really at the end of the day, the breaking point was the defense being so bad after he did convince, I'm guessing, I have no idea, but like convincing ownership and convincing Spielman to like go out and grab all these guys, and they didn't actually do anything. That had to be it, right?
Yeah.
I guess it would be hard for him to get another job when his sales pitch is that, you know, it's ineffective and I'm very disinterested and I'm a jerk all day, but at least I'm also forgetful.
And he said he was famously bad at interviewing. That sounds like maybe something he would say. I don't know, we'll see. But wish him the best. Do you guys want to walk through like health-wise?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I hope his eyes are okay. He almost went blind.
Yell at waitresses. It'll be fun for him. Spielman, then just send him like every like 3 weeks, like different bad deals that Spielman made throughout his tenure. Just send him I'm sure he opens all of his email forwards.
Not a second thought.
Just show him that transaction that Spielman did for Chris Herndon this offseason. I think it was a fourth round pick.
That
was just insanity.
And there are times there's times too when I end up having to take the side of the GM in most cases of like, yeah, no one hits on all these, right? Like they all have the best GM of all time has had a bunch of misses, but there's a lot of those just super weird mid-season trades for draft picks of guys that don't end up playing at all. I mean, I feel like that happened a lot. The drafting record is always going to be up and down for everybody. I mean, you know, name anyone. They've fucked up some draft picks. But those sort of things. Moves. Yeah. Those sort of moves. And I've also said,
but what's worse is that when Spielman makes the right pick, like gambling a high pick on Daniel Carlson, that turned out to be a really good pick. He's phenomenal. He kicked Vegas into the playoffs.
He's very good.
And Zimmer cut him because he had a bad game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just
bad match.
Just exactly. They both merited their walk-in papers.
Yep, for sure.
There was no one more to blame. It's more fun to blame Zimmer because it makes chicken fingers angry.
Yes,
but it's still they're both. Yeah, they should be gone.
The one saving grace I'll say for both of them, and I don't know who to credit because I always get so confused. I was trying to read an Athletic article, I did read the article. I read it. I know how to read. Stop looking at me like that.
Cool.
I read an Athletic article, and they were talking about like Zimmer drafted this guy and Zimmer drafted that guy. And I'm just like confused with the language of like who drafts. I don't even know who's drafting at this point. So it's really hard to say too much, but what I was going to say, some combination of them has left the cupboard not so bare where this is like a disaster job. We talk about it we may get into them a little bit later, but like the Timberwolves was like, well, they can't get anybody good because if anybody wants to coach for the Timberwolves, they're inherently stupid and bad. Mm-hmm. That's not this, right? Like, I think this is a pretty decent head coaching job because there's a bunch of talent and you could squint and kind of see yourself or see this team really turning it around quickly. I mean, they weren't that bad this year anyway. So I will say that about them. Like the cupboard's not bare.
They can have they get one rebuilding year. I think they have to do whatever Justin Jefferson wants them to do.
That's true.
The franchise. And they're going to, I guess we should just get into it. Kirk Cousins is gone, right?
Yeah. That was going to be one of my questions for you. What do you think the odds are? I have no idea how to play out, like if he's for sure gone or not, because I don't know where he's going to go.
Unless you're getting one of those retread GMs, which I don't think they're going to do. I think they're going to get someone who wants to do his own thing here. And I can't think of any GM who wants to like make a splash who is going to say, you know who I'm going to ride to the promised land? Kirky Cousins. I know that contract is an albatross. I know it's an albatross.
I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I feel about the same way, but by almost any measure, Kirk Cousins is like the 15th best quarterback in the league, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like he's a very average quarterback that finishes 8-8, or in this case, 8-9 every year.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I'm saying is even rising to 15th is somewhat difficult. It's not like there's anybody they can get that's going to be better than him.
Oh, yeah, it's a bad draft class this year, too.
Yeah. Like I was watching the national championship game on Monday, and it was just amazing how much Stetson Bennett IV, Georgia's quarterback, has in common with like Christian Ponder. Can't quite throw the ball straight or make any good decisions, a little undersized, just very Ponder-esque.
Oh boy.
I'm just glad that they managed to fire Spielman that same day, because otherwise the Vikings were taking Stetson football IV.
Yeah.
First round for sure.
So the move then, Stu, you're saying the one way to go about it is they get a new GM. Mm-hmm. He's got a, freedom to do what he wants to do. And he says, I don't think that we're going to win the Super Bowl next year. I don't think we need Cousins. Let's trade him to the Broncos or the Colts.
I think he's the Broncos plan B if they don't get Rodgers.
And they throw us a couple first rounders or whatever the thing is.
They're not going to get firsts for Kirky. I don't think. I really don't.
No,
first of all, the salary cap hit is just they're going to be doing us a favor.
Sure.
But Kirk.
Counterpoint, the Eagles got a first round draft pick for Carson Wentz.
Oh,
Carson Wentz sucks ass.
Oh, I know.
Kirk Cousins is much better than him.
No.
Always has been.
The Eagles, oh my God, the Eagles win that trade.
Yeah. Yeah. They fleeced him. So they need to fleece somebody. Okay. So it doesn't matter what they get back. You're just saying, hypothetically, you get something back for him. You find another Case Keenum or whoever the fuck next year, and then you roll.
Do you think the Giants will take him? They seem dumb enough.
The whole franchise off.
I love that. Oh,
they just Vikings East next year.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
The Giants. But the thing is, like, if you look at that, makes sense to me. If you're the Lions last year, who have Stafford and nothing else.
Yeah.
But this team, like, it's hard for me to take a step back when you've got Cook and Jefferson and, again, what should be the outline of a decent defense. It would be, I can see that happening, but I also can see them just being like, let's see how good we can be if we have a good coach next year. I actually think there's a ton of talent on this team. We got the 12th pick. Hopefully get an impact player somewhere and run it back.
It doesn't matter the position, honestly. It doesn't matter.
There's really nothing.
A lot of opportunities on this roster.
Opportunities for greatness, John.
If they took a running back or a wide receiver at 12, I think I'd be annoyed. I think that's probably the only position where I'd be maybe a center.
Kicker, I would be annoyed.
Long snapper would be a
gunner.
Tough to swallow, but
yeah, gunner.
But
would
if
be,
like, you know, fucking like N'Kobe Dean, if they, he falls to 12, my God, that would be. Yeah.
Anybody
from the Georgia defense falls to 12 to take them.
For Georgia's defense. There's 11 guys. Take any of them.
Yeah, 12th pick. All 11 go, first 11. Then we're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. John, what would your sense be right now? If there was a bet in Vegas, 50-50, Cousins is back or Cousins is still with the Vikings next year, which side do you land on?
I would bet on Cousins is back, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are too many variables in play here for it to actually happen.
Let me ask you this question. This is probably going to be one of my patented, way too complicated to even be worth it sort of question scenarios.
All right.
You love these.
I do.
A shock scale of 0 to 10.
Is zero shocked or not shocked?
Zero is the sun rose in the east.
Okay.
As it always does. 10 is the sun rose in the west. Holy fucking shit. What is going on? This is the most shocking thing that's ever happened. So 10 is just your shock level. If you close your eyes and picture Rick Spielman being the GM of a team who wins the Super Bowl, what is your shock level there?
6.
It's like pretty surprising, but also like crazy shit happens. He's the GM. Who the fuck knows?
Exactly. And everybody hates the GM of every NFL team. There is no NFL fan base out there that's like, man, our GM is awesome. He really knows what he's doing.
So true.
We love our GM.
That does happen in basketball where people are just obsessed with, I mean, you know me, I was obsessed with not even my own team's GM. Another team's GM I was obsessed with. That doesn't really happen in football. So 6. Okay. Same exercise, Mike Zimmer. He is the head coach of a Super Bowl winning team. What is your shock level there?
9.
Okay. 10.
Honestly, I just...
9 or 10, yeah.
Do you build a time machine so you can go to 1983 and coach John Riggins?
I would be more shocked there as well, just because, I mean, the age thing is, of course, but also, yeah, just seeing like timeout use in the end of some of these games, it's like, holy shit, this is going to get really intense.
For him to win a Super Bowl, it would have to be like a Barry Switzer situation where he inherits so much talent.
Yeah.
You need to sit on the sideline and go, great comparison. Just win a Super Bowl.
Okay. So. And then now the last one is Kirk Cousins.
Winning a Super Bowl?
Yep.
As the starter or as on just a quarterback on the roster?
As the starter.
I think it's exactly what Stu just said. There have been some truly awful quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls. So you put him in the right defense, of course I think he can.
Yeah.
He's the perfect game manager quarterback. He's not going to – if you don't ask him to do anything, he's perfectly capable of
– he can be as good as Nick Foles for 3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco, Brad Johnson, throw checkdowns.
Yeah,
remember Peyton Manning won it, and he had in the same season been benched for Brock Osweiler.
Mm-hmm. He was actually throwing left-handed at that point.
He had fused vertebrae in his neck.
Yeah. I would put him at a 5.
Yeah,
yeah,
not surprising at all.
So that to me leads me to like, all right, cool. He's frustrating. He does suck in a lot of ways, but he's not like, I don't know. I would be super, I would love if he was gone. Like, I just like everybody else. Like, I'm just kind of, I've seen it. I don't need to see it anymore.
Right.
But he's not so bad where it's like, we're not at Ponder levels right now.
No. No, well, Ponder levels are a special level.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know that. So John, you said that you think that he's going to be back, but yeah, what is your thought of like, are you going to watch him next year if he's back? Or are you like, I'm kind of out on the Vikings until he moves on?
I've watched every edition of the Vikings going back my whole entire life now. So
it's no brainer.
Really, he's watched worse Vikings quarterbacks.
It really has.
He's watched worse Vikings team.
It has less to do with the players on the Vikings as it does with me. I'm the problem here, I guess, is what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with who's wearing purple.
Right.
I watched some of the games last year. Last year was a dirty slog, and I watched their games. Remember when they almost lost to Houston when Houston was the worst team in the league? And I think they needed like a fourth down jump ball or something to beat Houston. I don't remember the details, but it was.
You already remember so much more than every other fan. I cannot believe. I don't even know if they've played the Texans. You could say that for some weird reason they've never played them before. I'd be like, oh, wow.
Maybe they lost that game. I don't know. It was like the lowest point for this franchise.
All I remember about the last season is that there weren't any fans. That's what I remember about last season.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're happened, obviously. But I guess it's kind of like you have to wait to see who gets hired to know how excited we're going to be for next season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Because I mean, maybe you guys can correct me, but do either of you trust the Wills to make the right hires here?
I don't know what my trust level is for them in either direction. I do like that they don't seem to be meddlers. They did give Spielman and Zimmer a lot of time, which could be good or bad. You could construe that in either direction. I don't know if Spielman at the time was, I mean, this is probably, I'm actually right now very thankful that Chicken Fingers is not here, because by the time I finish the sentence, he'd be screaming at me. But I don't know if at the time Spielman was a bad hire, like when it happened. I was not
so long ago now.
Right. I was not super enthused about the Zimmer hire, but I also wasn't like it was not what's that motherfucker? Kurt Rambis. It was not a Kurt Rambis hire, right? Where it was like immediately that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It wasn't that. So I think their track record seems like down the middle average. They're also criminals, I believe.
Going to say, I trust them to like build a casino in like the New Jersey, like off the New Jersey Turnpike, and pay $11 in taxes for the year.
I trust them for getting good deals, figuring out a way to get a good deal.
Here's the thing. The thing that the Wills want more than anything in the world is to own the 1986 New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a time machine, so they can't do that. But what I can't tell is what that means for what they're going to do. Like, are they just going to call up Bill Parcells and hire who he says? Are they really going to study league trends and figure out where the league is going and make some outside-the-box new school analytic whatever you want to say hire that is going to be sort of a step forward? Or are they going to do sort of a there's this thought process, this sort of hiring process that so many teams seem to use, where they're like, all right, we're going to line up all the coaching candidates and whoever can eat a football the fastest is the winner. And that's who we're going to hire as our coach, because we want a football guy, and we want him to eat an entire football without using his hands. And that's what we're going to do today. And that's how you get, you know, Joe Judge or Dan Campbell or Matt Nagy or all of these retreads, anybody who's ever shaken hands with Bill Belichick. I don't know what they're going to do, because they don't do it this often. I don't know which way they're going to go here. So it would be different if they'd made a whole bunch of hires, but I really don't know what's about to happen.
Well, let's walk through the Vegas odds of the next coach, and you let me know what you think about these guys.
All right. I'm gonna depend on Stu to have heard of some of these guys, probably most of them.
Okay, perfect. And what I want to know is your feelings on them, and then play out the future of why this, because it's going to go bad. We're still Minnesota fans. It's going to be a disaster. Let's just be honest. I want to know, like, how, why is this going to go bad? Number one, Eric Bieniemy. He's the number one odd. I think he's plus 300. I won't go through the actual odds for each one of these guys. I'm just going to do kind of an order of what Vegas thinks is the likelihood, but he is currently the most likely candidate according to Vegas.
Is he the most likely candidate for everybody's job or just ours?
Actually, no, just ours. Really? A couple of these other guys on this list are noted in other places. I have no idea why. Like, there's, I forget the, oh, Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is the, I think he was the Falcons coach for a while.
He was the coach for 28-3, I believe.
Yeah.
He was, yeah. He is like the most, at least according to tonight on Wednesday, the odds of being the Bronco. I think the Broncos head coach. So there must be some sort of intel, or I don't even know. Maybe is he the defensive coordinator? Who knows? Who the fuck knows?
Who the fuck knows? No,
so everybody's got a little bit different odds, and ours is highest with Eric Bieniemy, which again, I don't know. I don't know why.
Because he used to coach here.
Yeah, true. What was he, the running back coach?
The running backs coach forever. The entire Adrian Peterson tenure, I think he was the running backs coach.
Yeah, so he's been gone about a decade, if I'm right. Yeah. He's been the offensive Reed's coordinator.
Right, yeah, for a Super Bowl winning team.
Yep, exactly. So that obviously makes a lot of sense. They've been a really good offense for a long time. But you can really easily see why this could go bad. We've seen it play out with Bill Belichick's assistants about 1,000 times over the years. Just because you worked for the guy doesn't mean you are the guy. Mangenius, Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Joe Judge,
Josh McDaniels.
Like, just a, I mean, history is littered with the number two and power guy at the Patriots being absolutely worthless without Belichick. So it would, of course, not be shocking if that was Eric Bieniemy as well. However, we don't know if that's the case here. And we also don't think that Andy Reid is at the same level of control over an organization like Belichick, I believe. And so other people have come from Andy Reid, under Andy Reid, and have been successful enough as far as I know. So I would be excited about this for sure. A little unsure, a little uneasy, but definitely excited. John, what say you?
About Eric Bieniemy, I think that would be fun. Everybody seems to be excited about Eric Bieniemy. Also, he's one of the few coaching candidates I bet I'm going to know something about his history. So,
played for the Colorado Buffaloes, didn't he, John?
Yeah, he did play for the Colorado Buffaloes. So
he also
Bill Stewart era Colorado Buffaloes, I think.
Wade will tell us. He'll let us know.
Wade will tell us. Yes.
He also seems, from my extremely embarrassingly limited time, like, watching or knowing anything about him, but he does seem like a pretty friendly guy. Seems nice.
Well,
kind of.
I mean, we always talk about the ditch to ditch mentality, and they're going from the world's biggest red ass and Mike Zimmer to a person who's going to actually say, hello, how are you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not to go backwards in the conversation, but right now, what's fresh in my mind is, like, my memory of Zimmer going out is he went out, really throwing this poor kid under the bus, Kellen Mond, of like, I don't want to start him because I watch him every day. Like, a really, really shitty comment about anybody. I know you didn't draft him, but still, that's, I have people who, I mean, we all have people who are work for us at times that we didn't hire. We don't necessarily say that sort of stuff ever. It's really rude. And then the Justin Jefferson thing at the end of the game, when at least what I heard was, like, some of the crowd was chanting to get him a pass, and he just wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
I wonder if those are going
to
be things.
The example of Tom Brady getting an extra pass to simple country idiot Rob Gronkowski, so you get like $500,000 bonus.
Yeah,
like, and they're veterans. They're Super Bowl. I mean, those are the type of guys who aren't in games that, and they both like left the game right away. Literally, that was their last play of the game.
They went back in to do that, and they did it, and that was great, and everybody loved it. And so I wonder if 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, if we're going to think back and still remember those moments of him of being like, yeah, man, he really went out being the most red ass of all red asses. He went out his way, just being a jerk all the way through. Just a wild, wild way to go out if you think the writing's on the wall, to be like, ah, fuck it.
Just going, yep. I mean, yeah, that's him, though. That is, by all accounts, him.
Yeah, just totally.
Just a grump.
So grumpy. Okay, so we're pretty happy about the idea of Eric Bieniemy. Little unsure, but happy.
Yeah.
Okay, Stu. Brian, oh boy, Daboll?
Brian Daboll. Basically is given the credit for turning Josh Allen into one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. What people don't remember is that he got run out of Miami on a rail as their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think that was like roughly a decade ago. I think he was there in like maybe Houston or Jacksonville. He was
Cleveland, I believe.
Cleveland, you're right. Yeah, and both places just failed miserably. And just because you fail miserably once as a coordinator doesn't mean you're going to fail miserably again as a coordinator, which he's proven. Mm-hmm. And just because, I mean, some retreads work out. Belichick was a retread. But I know nothing about him other than he used to be bad and now he's good.
Yeah. And it's really hard too. I mean, we've seen this before of like, why don't we credit Josh Allen for Josh Allen being good? You know, maybe he's just really a talented person who figured it out. So
figured out how to play NFL quarterback because he's mm-hmm. a freakishly gifted athlete. And then he was able to get the mental part sussed out after just getting his ass kicked.
Right. So it's he has heads more autonomy than Eric Bieniemy, more ownership of something going well. So that's good. But also, again, he is in some ways potentially riding some coattails in the same way mm-hmm. Eric Bieniemy has been. So, yeah, I think I would be happy about this. I don't know if there's a guy on this list that I'd be like doing. Yeah,
I do know that Steph Diggs loves him and the Sport of Podcast loves Steph Diggs.
That's true. So by the power of third party.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. We have to love him.
Property. Yeah.
Yeah. Transitive property. That's right. Yeah. I don't know if there's anybody on this list that I'm just like going nuts about, but they all are like seem pretty good. Okay. Next one. Brian Flores. Dolphins head coach, very successful, also possibly a red ass.
Yeah, because people were baffled that he got let go.
We're back to back there.
I know, isn't that weird? He's won a bunch of games for the Dolphins.
Oh, terrible! That cupboard was bare when he got there. They were talking super about bare. Like 2 years ago that was going to be the worst team in NFL history. He won like 5 games.
Well, and they lost each of the first 3 games by like 50 points or something. Yeah. Like they were just getting destroyed.
Yeah.
He did turn around.
He did turn him around, but yeah, there have been reports out of there that there was basically he had a Zimmer type streak to him.
But so. Maybe the owner is a real piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, it's Stephen Ross. He owns the Marlins and the Dolphins and he's bad at both. One of those
That's
type
not good.
Of things.
That's never not good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and that again, we've talked about like you can fail somewhere and be good somewhere else. So that might be kind of fun. I don't know. I think I could talk myself into Brian Flores pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, I probably could too. I mean, like he had the same type of team as Zimmer did the last 2 years, a team that got close to the playoffs but didn't get in, but he did it with less talent.
Yeah.
Much less talent.
Right. Yeah, because they kept trading away their best players.
They did, and they had their quarterback bust, Tua Tagovailoa, kept throwing 3-yard outs to Jalen Waddle all year. All year. And they had no running backs. Like, Salvon Ahmed was their running back. They had nothing.
Yeah, right. He didn't pick up many yards.
No.
No. This is somewhat concerning for me, I would say, but the fourth most likely next Vikings coach is something called Andre Patterson.
Oh,
Vikings coach Andre Patterson,
current Vikings coach, which
people
is
love in the building.
Do they? Okay, that was my question. I have no idea. I've never really I know this person enough to know his name, but I don't know anything beyond that. He's our defensive coordinator, I believe. Which again, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. They were awful, but Zimmer was running the show, so you can't really blame him a whole lot. Maybe is that his story?
It would be very funny for us to sit here and talk about man, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad this era is over. We just can't run it back again and then be like, yeah, I think they should hire the defensive coordinator from last
Andre
year.
Patterson. Yeah,
that's they need. Andre
just
got
to get Zimmer out of the way. I bet he had some innovative ideas that just weren't listened to by the old dinosaur.
Andre was yelling. Yeah, don't call two timeouts in a row, Mike.
I don't see that one happening. I really this feels like it's a clean slate. He may be the one guy they bring back to run the defense or something, but I don't foresee him being the head coach.
It was like when the Timberwolves needed a new coach and everyone was like, oh, they'll hire David Vanterpool. And the Timberwolves said, maybe we're not going to hire somebody who's here already. I'm just spitballing here. We've lost 4,000 games over the past 3 years. Maybe can't we should hire someone who's not on our staff.
Yeah, let's hope. The next is Doug Peterson. I don't know.
Won a Super Bowl.
That's a no from John.
No.
It's the visor.
Former Eagles coach. No.
It's the visor.
Yeah. Yeah, he may have gotten lightning in a bottle that 1 year.
Yeah, former Packer too. Former Packer backup quarterback. So yeah, it's a no for me, Doug.
Speaking of backup quarterbacks, the next on the list in likelihood from Vegas is Jim Harbaugh.
Oh no,
that's a no.
He's not going to leave. He might leave Michigan, but he ain't going to leave Michigan for the Vikings.
Okay. Talk me out of this one. He was really a good coach in the NFL. He seems like a good person.
What a weird dude. No, he does not seem like a good person. All the things that Jim Harbaugh seems like, good person.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
His khakis don't fit. He's just the biggest.
He came out of his mother's birth canal wearing khakis.
If we're going to say people who have bad-fitting khakis are bad people, we got a long list.
Okay, you're an outlier for one thing. You have pants that fit, but you only have like three pair that all cost $200. So fuck you.
But you can pour beer directly
John's,
on them.
And John pours beer on my pants.
He's got beer wicking pants.
Beer wicking pants.
Chinos of mystery.
Okay. So, but why specifically is he bad?
Jim Harbaugh? Because I don't like him. That's why. I don't like his face. I don't like the way he acts. I don't like anything about him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
University of Michigan can burn down for all I care.
Yeah, okay, there we go. There's the roots.
He may have been also a little bit of a red ass, I believe, on the Niners.
Very much.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and Pete Carroll just about got in a fight.
And Pete Carroll is kind of a hippie, nice guy, right? So
he's just kind of a weird flighty dude, whereas Harbaugh's intense and khakied.
All right, intense and khakied. Bad. Mm-hmm. Todd Bowles.
I keep getting confused with Todd Bowman.
He's coaching in like the Buffalo Hanover district, John.
Is Todd Bowman really the coach of Buffalo Hanover?
I believe he is, yes.
Wait.
I believe his son is like a quarterback prospect there too. And they're running like a pro spread offense.
Perfect.
Todd Bowles
in the fields of Buffalo.
Bowles has been a head coach.
Todd Bowman's been a head coach.
Okay. Damn it. That's the only thing that was my only thing that I knew was different. And now you're saying,
I know he's been a coach and now he's a coordinator again. That's what I know about Todd Bowles.
Okay. A lightning round. Kellen Moore.
The Dallas offensive coordinator, I would be okay with that one.
So the trend here is, again, I think Kellen Moore fits in the like 30-something Madden bro.
That's the Sean McVay hire.
He has the part kind of cut into his hair, probably. Like, again, Bengals guy, Sean McVay. That
did Kellen maybe, Moore play quarterback at Oregon?
Sure did. That's your guy. Kellen Mond
played quarterback for Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Here's the person I didn't know was alive, Jim Caldwell. He's like
really alive
on the list. Wow. He's I mean,
that'd be a good Detroit head coach. The only good
Detroit head coach. Is this like plus 5,000 at this point?
I mean, this is enough where I still wrote him down. There was a bunch of other ones. You're right,
Marty Morningwig, plus 12,000.
Well, on behalf of Jim Caldwell, sir, he is not in the same vein as a Marty Morningwig. He was actually a good Detroit Lions coach. You know how fucking rare that is? Jim Caldwell, he should be in the NFL Hall of Fame because he had like a 9-7 record 1 year in Detroit. Incredible. But I also think he's like 95 years old. So probably not going to happen. After that is Byron Leftwich.
That is the guy I want.
That's your guy.
Yep.
Everybody loves Byron Leftwich.
Bruce Arians loves Byron Leftwich. I love Byron Leftwich because he was a quarterback at Marshall University. Marshall University? Who went to Marshall University, John?
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Can't go wrong.
Goes so deep.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young guy. We like that. He seems like a friendly, inquisitive guy. We just don't know if he's, like, good at his job.
That one time he threw a touchdown, but his lineman had to carry him down the field.
Because his leg was broke. His ding-dang leg was broke, guys.
He's a trooper. He's a gamer.
Trooper. Gamer.
He fucking cares, man. He battles. Leaves it all out on the field, as far as I've been told.
He's a warrior, Brandon.
He's a warrior.
I don't say that lightly.
No, you don't. You actually have never used that word before.
Not once.
Josh McDaniels is the last one.
Ooh, bad. No, absolutely not.
No.
Bad. Brutal.
Anyone but that.
Shitty. Terrible. Yeah.
That New England offense right now, it's unwatchable. Sometimes it's good, but it's unwatchable. Woof. It is what Mike Zimmer wants. It's basically three running backs, and Kendrick Bourne is their one wide receiver. And that's not, I'm sorry, not Kendrick Bourne. That he's for the Niners.
I think he might be on that team now.
Oh, sure. Why not? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, let's
say. It's an unwatchable offense. It sucks.
Yeah. It's bad.
They're going to get fucking pasted by Buffalo. It's going to be awesome this weekend.
Oh, man. I want that to happen so badly that I'm nervous. Okay, good. All right. We'll get into the playoff preview in a couple minutes here. It sounds like we've got enough people on that list where if they stay kind of tried and true to what seems expected, there's some candidates. It could be fun. I have zero thoughts or opinions on the next GM. I have no clue, right?
No idea.
Okay. So moving forward into this weekend, thinking about the playoff scenario, Stu. Here's my ranking. Stu, I want you to critique my AFC rankings of likability, and then John, you can critique my NFC, okay?
All right. I'm ready.
Okay. My rooting order of interest for the AFC. Chiefs, Bengals, Titans, Bills, Raiders, Steelers, Patriots.
I'd put the Steelers below the Patriots, but that's about it.
Okay, so if it comes down to, and God help us, I hope I'm dead, but if it comes down to the AFC Championship and it's Ben versus Mac Jones and the Patriots, we're rooting for Mac Jones and the Patriots?
That's not going to happen because Kansas City is going to score 10,000 points on Pittsburgh this weekend. Right. Do not have to worry about that.
I don't even have literally to work through that hypothetical. Fuck yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, but otherwise that makes general sense, right?
Yeah.
Like the Chiefs, Bengals.
Chiefs and Bengals are super fun to watch right now. The Titans might still be the best team because they're going to have a healthy, large running back who runs over everybody healthy.
Derrick Henry.
There you go. So yeah, those are three really good teams that could go all the way.
Sweet. Love it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get weird in the NFC, John.
I'm looking down the NFC playoff list and just there are some low agony. Cards in this hand.
Oof. I put 5 seconds of thought into this. Here we go. Eagles.
Go slow. No. Wrong.
Eagles. Rams. Cardinals. 49ers. Cowboys. Bucks. Packers.
Yeah, except the Packers are down below, I don't know, nuclear war. Mm-hmm.
Nuclear war, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Asteroid.
The only team that's, I mean,
I would put the Cardinals higher.
Okay, okay. That's fair.
Cardinals probably at the top.
I don't know why I don't have them as number one. I think it's because for some reason I feel like that coach, I was annoyed that he got hired because he was like a middling college coach. He kind of sucked, and I don't want him to get rewarded because I thought he just kind of got handed a job.
He looks like the golf pro that steals your mom's heart. Cliff Kingsbury. There we go.
Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah, and he's that's the perfect name of the golf pro as yes, well. It just,
two K's.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. And I don't even know if that's fair. For all I know, he could have been brought up in fucking Compton. And probably not.
Your mother's very special to me, Brandon.
Hey, big dog.
Hey, slugger.
I'm going to take you to Dave and Buster's. We got something to talk about.
Yeah, order whatever you want. Just don't go too rich on me. No steak, okay? Love you, pal.
So maybe Cardinals. I probably have the Rams a little bit too high. I also don't know why I like them a whole lot. I think Aaron Donald's fun to watch.
You like the Rams more than anyone in Los Angeles likes the Rams.
That's true. I don't know. I don't get it. And I have the Eagles just for the fucking weirdness of it all.
What a weird team.
Stu, is your brother a Cardinals fan?
Just by, you know, proximity. I mean, he's a Vikings fan, but, you know, just being down there, you know, it's like, oh, hey, the local team's doing okay.
Because right. That puts the Cardinals on top for me that I could cheer for Stu's brother.
Yeah, it'd be nice, okay. You know.
I like that.
Good okay, for business.
Cool. So Tyler's I'll move them up.
Yeah.
John, let me go to the back half of this. 49ers, Cowboys, Bucks, Packers. Pretty brutal all the way down on that one. Yeah. Is there anything that you're that I should be like changing my rooting interest there?
No, I hate all of those teams.
They're all bad.
They're all bad.
I like Debo Samuel a little bit, so I put them up.
The 49ers can be fun to watch when that offense is working, which is weird since it's a run heavy offense.
Yeah,
but it's kind of a fun. I mean that
it's Niners, goofy runs.
Yeah, the Niners Kansas City Super Bowl is actually kind of fun. And
oh yeah, that was great.
I mean, if the Niners had anything at quarterback, they would be really dangerous.
And they have two very either high profile, like high draft pick, or very expensive. They have two quarterbacks. I wonder what they're going to do.
It's hard to say. You know, Trey Lance is from here.
That's right. He sure is. He's from Marshall, Minnesota. What a weird town.
Marshall, Minnesota is very close to where Todd Bauman is from.
And it's also where Harmar Superstar is from.
He's canceled, though.
He's from Marshall?
Oh.
Yeah. But Steve Zahn is, and he's not canceled, even though he saw his hog in White Lotus.
He is also from Marshall, Minnesota?
Yeah, I think so.
Three famous people from Marshall, Minnesota.
And Schwann's.
That's fucking wild.
Don't forget Schwann's. Never forget Schwann's.
I would never.
9/11, Schwann's.
Southwest State University?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't dare forget Schwann's.
That's also the part of Minnesota where everything just gets flat. And it just stays flat until
Yeah,
Denver.
That's the part of Minnesota.
That's the point, yeah.
I mean, no, but no. It's, no. It's fuck super you flat. If you think of we live in the Rocky Mountains hill. Compared to Marshall.
Not even. There's no slopes even.
No, it just gets flat.
They're not even allowed to have driveways.
Harmar Superstar is from Marshall, Minnesota.
Why would you lie about that?
I wasn't sure if he was like lifelong canceled or like a timeout canceled.
That's hard to say.
I wonder if he can be like rebooted.
In Marshall, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I'm not touching
as
this
a Schwann's driver.
I'm not just, touching this one. I'm going to go ahead and you're not talk anymore about that.
Have we talked about hockey yet? Should I talk about hockey?
That's funny, but we are done with football talk, I believe. Is that right? Are you guys, parting words? That was good. Good segment.
Yeah, I think it's a good talk. Brandon, since you weren't here last week, we did not talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves at all. Do you have anything you'd like to discuss?
Oh, I have so much I would like to discuss. I wanted to just say that I forgive them for losing last night against the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans are terrible. And in most cases, losing to that team feels like what a disaster. But, you know, they've been on a pretty good run lately. The one thing I wanted to talk about was, well, not just the one thing, but Do you know that every time that the Timberwolves lose a game they were supposed to win, Carl Anthony Towns has the same press conference in which he's like, we got to stop believing our own hype, man. I mean, we keep coming in and thinking these games are going to be easy and they're not easy. This other team's trying really hard. And we just keep thinking, you know, our shit doesn't stink, whatever else. And it's just like, what hype are you talking about, Carl Anthony Towns? There's never been any hype. The best thing we've said about these guys in the last 5 years of, hey, might not be the worst.
I'm like, that's begging the hype for Timberwolves hype.
There is no hype. I honestly, like, does his mom do one? Like, is he just reading or like, no, I'm sorry, it's not his mom, but like, is his family like just sending him emails and he thinks that's the news where they're just hyping him up personally? There's
They're fairly popular on like social media, like, because they have fun dunks and stuff.
They, you know. Yeah, but does he look through his Twitter and sees like Anthony Edwards dunking a couple of times on the SportsCenter top 10 and is like, hey, everybody thinks we're great at basketball or we're going to win the championship. There's no hype. I don't know what he's talking about. I also, though, have to say we are both messy bitches who love the drama. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's it. Maybe he just loves the drama and has to play it in. But it's a very weird thing that he has after every loss of just being like, man, everybody's hyping us up, baby. Everybody's hyping us up. Maybe we got to calm down a little bit. And it's just like looking around like, who are you? Have I missed all the articles saying you're amazing? I don't even know. We're barely in the playoffs. Anyway, that's my only thought right now. John, what do you think?
I think you should be nicer to Carl Anthony Towns. That's what
he's a messy bitch. I'm also a messy bitch. We have to
mean and hurtful.
We have to be messy bitches to each other. That's how we work.
I do want to mention something. I read this today in a John Krasinski article and I couldn't believe it. So I actually went and looked it up for myself because I was like, no, that's got to be a typo, but it's true. So if you look at the 5-man lineups in the NBA this year, mm-hmm. and you filter out the ones who played like 7 minutes or whatever and get to like the ones who played more than 30 minutes, I cannot believe that this is true, but going by, you know, offensive rating minus defensive rating, the Timberwolves starting five, Pat Bev and Vanderbilt and Cat and Russell and Edwards, the best 5-man lineup in the NBA. And it's not close. It's not close either.
Yeah.
They're better by like 8 points. Points? Ratings points.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's unreal to me.
For a while, they were like plus 50 points.
The Timberwolves have the best 5-man lineup in the league?
Halfway through a season. That's really
halfway
cool.
Through a season.
Maybe some regression there, but still, that's very legit. I love it because they do, on paper, look like they would work really well together. And a lot of times what's a bummer is then they actually play the games and go, oh, fuck it. Never mind. They're not that good together. They really, truly are.
So... I'm sure this is a very dumb question, but knowing that they're 20-21, why are they not better?
Well, a couple of things.
I know Malik Beasley can't shoot, and
yeah,
Nasreed's having an off year, whatever. But
well, there's a couple of things. They didn't hit on that lineup for a while, and they started out kind of slow. If you remember, they were like 3-9 or something, or.
Right.
They had a couple of good games in a row, and then they went like 1-8 or something. I think I personally was like, let's just trade Towns. It's like
probably on this podcast. Yeah.
It's like mid-November. Just so insane. So it took them a while for them to find that starting lineup. And then obviously D'Lo missed a bunch of games. Cat missed a bunch of games. They just haven't played together a ton. So and then there's the bench, which is fine, but or should be fine. But if you think about it, the guys who have been struggling this year are all bench guys.
Right.
As you mentioned, Beasley he's been bad. Jaden McDaniels has had moments, but he's not put it all together. He actually, I think, has kind of reverted in a way, or regressed, I suppose.
Yeah, but he was great when everybody got COVID and it was when nobody could play the games. McDaniel was great. Jalen Noel was great.
Jalen's been good. Yeah. Nas, I think, looks maybe better on the eye test than like the analytics. I think his net rating or whatever, like on and off numbers, are actually really bad. I like the guy. I think he's awesome, but it also might just be the novelty of like this dude doing set shot three pointers that go in sometimes. It's
while
pretty fun.
A t-shirt.
He's wearing a t-shirt. He's got long hair. He seems cool. There's we're thrown off a little bit by Nas, so there might be just bench is not that great.
Maybe I want him to be better than he is.
I also want him to be better. I think he's amazing. So maybe there's part of that, but yeah, I know it's crazy how good that starting lineup is. I'm excited, man. It's funny though, like how quickly I talk myself into. I was just reading an article the other day. I wasn't trying to read the article. I actually just like easily read the article. I can read. I know pretty much every word. Like I'm pretty good at it. Miles Turner is a power forward center type on the Indiana Pacers, and he'd be a great fit for the Wolves next to Karl Anthony Towns because he's like a rim protector and Towns is not. He can shoot threes, but he doesn't need the ball very often. And they're like, the Wolves should really try to target Miles Turner, and all they would need to do what if they could just give up Jared Vanderbilt and something else?
No.
And even immediately, I was like, there's no fucking way we're giving up Jared Vanderbilt. Like, he's like half of a pretty good season, and I'm just like, he's untouchable. No one gets to have Jared Vanderbilt.
I'm not arguing for one minute that Jared Vanderbilt is better than Miles Turner. What I'm saying is I want Jared Vanderbilt
more
than I want Miles Turner. I'm not saying he's a better basketball player, but I love Jared Vanderbilt. That's true of everybody on this Timberwolves roster. Mm-hmm. On down to Jalen Noel. If you were like, would you trade Jalen Noel for Ben Simmons? I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like Jalen Noel.
He's pretty good. Yeah, I know. It's the only sport where you actually would give up a couple wins for your team just for the like pleasure of watching guys you like to watch. There's not a whole lot of those like things I can think of in football or baseball where the aesthetics are like that important, but that's a perfect example of like Miles Turner. Is he better than Jared Vanderbilt? Okay. I believe you. Right. I would rather watch Jared Vanderbilt. Even if we lose a couple fewer games, I don't give a shit. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, this is what I've been saying about this Timberwolves team for like 2 years now, mm-hmm. which is I know that they're not good and they have many flaws, but I want it to work for this specific team so badly. I don't, it was even more true when Ricky Rubio was here.
Right.
Is Ricky Rubio perfect for the team? I don't know, but I desperately want it to work for a team with him on the team.
Right? It's so true. They have like pretty much every dude on this team you root for, even the guy that, I didn't think I would want to root for D'Lo, but I definitely am rooting for him. Yep,
absolutely.
I listen to Bill Simmons' podcast sometimes. I don't know why. I don't like him. He's just kind of a dumbass.
2010 sounds great, Brandon.
Yeah. I know. It's so stupid. I kind of hate listening once. But anyway, he gets good NBA guys. So I listen to him sometimes. And he will just randomly point out whenever he mentions the Wolves. He's fairly complimentary, which is cool. But he's like, I just would really hate to play with D'Lo. And I just like, if you say that he's not that good, that's fine. But like, he's not a ball hog. He passes the ball a lot. I don't understand he's not one of these ball hog types. I root for him because he actually is like a pretty willing passer and team guy and seems like a pretty cool dude, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I love that Bill Simmons at the age of 65 is still like, boy, I wouldn't like to play with that guy.
Like, he just seems like
not
trouble.
Playing with anybody.
I never played at any level above high school and possibly not even there. But let's talk about what I would like to do as a basketball player.
I know. I just don't
even know who Larry Bird is.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dudes who like, you just sort of are going on reputation. But D'Lo, once you actually watch him, like, oh, no, that's not who I thought he was at all. He's a pretty fun dude to watch and to root for. So, I think Britt Robson has said like his preference would be to not really do much. The trade deadline is kind of the next big thing in the NBA. It's February 10th, I believe. Don't hold me to that. Wade can correct us on Twitter. But it's coming up pretty soon. And so it'll be interesting to see if we're able to make any like on the margin moves. But by and large, I agree with you. If they, as of now, they're on pace to win 40, of course, they're 20 and 21. Even if they get to 38 to 43 wins somewhere in there and get a play-in game, that's gravy to me, man. That's all
it
good.
Is. It
it's
absolutely
a fun,
is. That's
they're the youngest
first,
team in the league.
The first step.
I have a bad opinion here. I'm about to let loose a bad opinion. Okay, here comes a bad opinion. There is, and I recognize that the play-in tournament is stupid, but I like it in the sense that the Timberwolves are likely to end up in the play-in tournament. And rather than finishing eighth and drawing the Warriors in the first round and knowing that the best case scenario is they're going to win one game. Yeah. It was like when they played the Rockets the other year. The best case scenario, in fact, was what happened, which is they won one game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to beat the Warriors. They're not going to beat the Suns. But in a play-in tournament, they might actually win a game, a playoff game that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make it, if they won a play-in tournament game, it would be tied for the biggest win for the Minnesota Timberwolves in 18 years.
Yes.
And that is something.
Yeah. I have to say, I think I was, I don't know how I felt about it looking back this play-in tournament. But I really like it now. There's less tanking and the format's actually really cool as well. I know that at some point, I think it was Luca. He's a whiner anyway, but he was whining about like, it's so ridiculous as a 7 seed, you could win 50 games. The 10 seed wins 31 games. We're somehow in the same tournament. And he was whining about that. I was like, A, don't be the 7 seed. B, right. You have to, the 7 and 8 play each other. So you have to lose that game. Then you play the winner of the other game and you have to lose that one again for you to be out. I don't know. At that point, you're a 7 seed and you lost 2 games in a row to inferior opponents. Who on earth is going to feel bad for you that there was some sort of injustice that happened? Like, we gave you a bunch of chances.
You're the 7th best team out of 15. I'm not sure that you have a lot of rights to be whining right now.
And you lost 2 very important games in a row. Like, it's you shouldn't be playing. And by the way, a 7 seed never wins at all to begin with. So it's fun. It's some good drama at the end. And I think it's actually a brilliant way to do kind of this playoff system. So it'll be fun.
And if you don't like it, fine. Let's have 4 teams make the playoffs in each conference. That's fine with me too.
Also, yes, we've always been in favor of, just the best teams playing. Best of 11.
Right.
Okay.
Best of all.
That's enough Wolves, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John, all right, let's move on. Yawning for 15 minutes. Are you okay?
What's that?
You've been yawning for like 15 minutes. Are you doing okay?
I'm an old man with young children.
It's almost 10. It's the witching hour.
I drank one beer and now I'm dead.
John, would you like to, we'll give you the floor here quickly if you'd like it for some Minnesota Wild talk. This is fraught with danger here.
Yeah, it is. I really don't have much to say. I know the last time we did the podcast, the Wild had lost 5 in a row and I was pissed. And our good buddy Chicken said, I'm not ready to give up on them. They're probably going to be fine. And he was right. They've won their last 2 games.
Yep. So, he's the eternal optimist.
Riley and Jonesy are coming through.
Riley and Jonesy came up. The Wild did beat the Washington Capitals on a night where I know Michael Russo, he was tweeting and he insisted on calling them the Iowa Wild the whole game. He was like, Iowa's still down 2-0 on Washington, which was funny once. And after that, it was like, all right, this is starting to hurt. It's starting to hurt my feelings. But it was true. They were missing all their best players and they still managed to pull out a win. It involved Washington scoring into their own net from 180 feet away, which I hadn't seen for a while. But
I saw that clip. That was very cool. Stupendous.
And then they went out and beat Boston too, which was another big win. And they did it even though Kaprizov got hurt because of Trent Frederick, who's a total donkey, is just going around trying to hurt people. It's a weird league. It's a weird league where
you got
these no talent guys who are just running around trying to hurt people, and everybody on their own team is defending them. Like, well, you know, you just got to play. That's the way he plays. He plays hard. Blah blah blah. Just nuts.
That is just slowly becoming less a part of the game every single year, right? Has there been like a renaissance at all in past few years? Or is it, do you think it's staying kind of steady?
I think it's getting more and more frequent.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know if this is true or not. It seems more frustrating to me now because there's not as many guys there's almost no guys who are just solely out there to pound on someone else. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to not have a guy on the team whose only role is to pound somebody who can barely skate and barely take a normal shift, then his only role is out there to punish people who need to be punished. That said, without that guy, there certainly is more opportunity for people to just skate around and do whatever they want and not get punished for it. The solution here is to have the league be a little tougher on these things, but the league shows no inclination to do that. So I don't know. It's a weird situation. It's a weird sport because you got people who are just out there hurting people, and there seems to be nothing you can do about that.
Well, there's nothing you could have. The league could take some action, but in a perfect world, every time one of these jackasses came out on the ice, the other team would score immediately because that guy sucks.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what happened. But that just doesn't, that probably very rarely happens because it's such a low scoring sport to begin with, where it's like, yeah, we got this dumbass who doesn't even know how to skate can run around there for a little bit. And there actually isn't any negative things that happen, which is a bummer.
It would be weird if in the NBA there was a guy who couldn't shoot the basketball and his only role was to come out and just body check Steph Curry into the front row and be like, well, and everyone just sort of accepted it as part of the game.
Yeah, like, and hey, man, Curry's got to get beat up once in a while. That's just how the history of our game.
And then, you know, he would get in a fight with Draymond Green in the third quarter, and then they would both have to go sit down for a while, and then that would be the end of it.
Right.
I recognize that basketball and hockey are very different games, and that hockey is involves checking and hitting and all that sort of stuff. But this sort of stuff doesn't happen in football. So there's
if somebody came out in football who just was playing that role, you'd know who it was. If it was a linebacker, you'd throw a wheel route or whatever, and there'd be a touchdown. They'd be like, well, that was fucking stupid. We shouldn't have had that guy out there. You can punish that in football and basketball so much differently, which is, I don't know how to solve that aspect of it. Like, make it so that the coaches themselves go, I'm sorry, jackass Murphy, you're not allowed to go on the ice because you're just
jackass,
you're not good
Murphy
enough.
You want to go with that one? Yeah. It's 10 o'clock. Sure. It'll work.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's the best I could do at that
strange.
Point.
It's a strange thing. I don't know how to solve it. I wish Chicken was here. He would probably have a good idea for how to solve it because he really has his head on straight about a lot of these things. And
we'll probably never
whenever I need an opinion about it, I talk to him and I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I understand that.
We miss our buddy. It's over though. His dad got fired.
He's
all right. It's 10 o'clock. I did want to end on one last segment that we'll call beef.
I have one last question too after this, Brandon. So,
we have two segments left. Okay.
Okay. So the second to last segment is entitled beef. And that's when we complain or yell about something for basically no reason, just sort of an unsolicited complaint. And I believe, John, our unsolicited beef today is with something involving Raising Cane's.
Oh, yes.
What's your anger here this week? I just want to know.
Raising Cane's has good chicken fingers, and their French fries are crinkle cut fries, which normally are the most superior of all the French fries, except Raising Cane's intentionally makes them so that they are floppy and limp and soft.
Flaccid?
And flaccid. They're flaccid French fries.
They're flaccid.
I don't know why they would do this. Crinkle cut fries, properly crisped up in the deep fryer, are delicious.
They're a stout fry.
Raising Cane's, they are a stout fry that can withstand any amount of ketchup you throw at it, unless you get it from Raising Cane's, where they're garbage and sad, and I support military intervention.
And you're saying it's not like, oh, well, the execution on these fries, the 9-year-old running the fryer machine just doesn't keep them in long enough. You're saying this is a purposeful, flaccid fry?
It seems to be. I happened to be on their website and it said that they specifically cook them so that they're soft in the center or something like that.
Oh,
it's just it's French fries for babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. With no teeth.
Why they would do this is beyond me. Anyway,
that's disgusting. Okay. That's our segment called Beef. That's where
there's
we
a place
yell
down
about
on Snelling
things.
Avenue. There's a place on Snelling called Nashville Coop that has great fries and great chicken fingers, and you should go there.
And there's a really kind redhead boy who works there, who's a son of one of our podcast friends. So
is that right?
Yeah, I believe Fasola Matt's son works there now.
Really? So, oh, yeah. Man.
Real this kind boy.
Even better news.
He's a kind young gentleman.
He's a clean boy.
Okay, so that's our segment entitled Beef/Recommendations. Yep. So our beef is with Raising Cane's. Not friends with Raising Cane's anymore. New best friend is Nashville Coop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the kind boy.
Yes, the kind boy.
Okay. Thank you, John, for humoring me on that segment.
And thank you, Matt.
We'll do more beef segments if we have them. If we have some rants, and I'm sure we'll be able to come up with them. Actually, that's all that Chicken Fingers does now is he just tells us what to rant about and then doesn't show up.
Oh, he's so right about that.
We have to do his bidding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try him someday just out of curiosity. I've actually never had Raising Cane's in either direction. I've been by one a couple times, like going to my kid's basketball tournament down.
I was going to say, with sons your age, you're going to be there at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just every time we drive by, there's 75 cars because we go by like midday on a weekend. John, final segment. What is it?
Final segment. You know, coincidentally, we didn't plan this, everyone. We didn't plan this, but my segment is also called beef. And it's different, though. It's not about beef with people. It's specifically a question about beef, which is, Brandon, has your neighbor thrown any beef in your backyard lately?
Literal, like, so raw, beef, and then beef. Literal beef. Yeah. Literally, there has not been any, and the mystery continues. My wife and I have, you know, it's been pretty warm the last couple of days, so
it's been
you know, unseasonally warm, which for me means now I can look out my window to see if enough snow has melted for me to see if the spoiled beef is still out there, but still there's no signs of the beef. And I've actually brought this up with multiple people, and there has not been any good theories by anybody of what on earth she was talking about. We've gone into like, was it a typo? Is this an autocorrect issue? She, right. You know, what did she mean when she said spoiled beef? Was it a different word she was trying to say that trying to keep us away from? And we continue to be at a loss. So I would say the mystery continues. The drama is real. Be careful out there, everybody. And yeah, definitely just don't, if you're ever in the Lake Forest neighborhood of St. Louis Park, do not go rooting around backyards looking for a place for your dog to go piss or shit, because there's some spoiled beef back here and you have no idea around the corner what you're going to find. So that's literal all right, beef well. Section.
Yep. That's the end of my segment. Also titled beef.
All right. Two beef sections. Good. Well, let's wrap it up. It's getting very late, as you can tell by the content. But hopefully this Zoom, our second of our Zoom meetings, was successful. Thanks everybody for listening. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye, everybody.
See you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.